Cam did such a good job with this video, like the claw marks, because we're trying to kind of replicate that book that we read, because there's an enemy in your story is the series.
So we're starting this new series on spiritual warfare. Now, what do you think about that? What is your impression when you just hear that phrase, spiritual warfare? Anyone want to shout it out? It can be a little intimidating, can't it? So I took some time as I was preparing, and I just waited on the Lord. Lord, what is it? What's the main theme here about spiritual warfare? And I just felt overwhelmed with joy. Just such a sense of praise God, because the battle has been won. Yet it's important that we do know what's going on in the spiritual realm, and that's our focus for the next couple weeks, is to wake up to the reality of the enemy, but yet in the context of the joy and the praise, the privilege that we have to take part in this battle, and it's wonderful. It's a privilege that we have, and we enter in with joy. So I'd like to invite you to turn with me to 1 Ephesians chapter 6. It's on page 950 in the Pew Bibles. We'll read this together, and then we have a second passage also in 1 Peter. So let's turn together to Ephesians chapter 6. So Lord God, we just pray, open your word to us. Here we are, Lord. We pray, open our understanding, equip us, and make us strong, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Powerful passage. If you want to leave a finger in that passage now, we're going to turn over to 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11, and then we'll come back to Ephesians as we begin digging into God's word. 1 Peter chapter 5 on page 983. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to read one more verse to set us up then for focusing in on spiritual warfare. The first point, that the battle has been won. It says in Colossians, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So let's put just everything in perspective, that spiritual warfare is not what we would say it's a fight. It's enforcing a finished victory. Let me say that again. Spiritual warfare, it's not a fight. Rather, it's enforcing a finished victory. The followers of Jesus don't fight for victory. We fight from a place of victory.
It's good.
We are already victorious. And that's our place in this battle, for the battles that are out there. We can think of it like this. Some Christians, we believe, oh, the world around us is evil, and so we're like cowering in fear, afraid that something's going to happen. We're looking for evil influences everywhere, and we're trying to keep ourselves separate and keep ourselves safe. But a better, a truer perspective is that the kingdom of God has come. We are in that kingdom. We rule with Christ But there are factions that are still trying to destroy. The defeated enemy is still trying to bring havoc, and he's still trying to bring about destruction in our churches, in our lives, in our families. And we need to stand firmly against this and stand in the authority that we have in Christ. So our first point, going back to Ephesians now, verse 10 is finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength is in Christ. So this is something we need to lay hold of this morning. We all have our moments when we feel weak, when we feel defeated, when our emotions are in control and they're like taking us in a bad place, into a dark place. In those times, we need to stop and just proclaim, I am strong in the Lord, and that is the truth. You know, last week we had this interview with Nikki Hess-Evans, and she was saying your emotions can be saying one thing while you can still stand solidly in the truth. So we can say my emotions feel weak, I feel weak, but I am strong in the Lord. Like as it says in Joel 3 verse 10, let the weak say I am strong. And as we proclaim this, as we pray it over ourselves and we proclaim, I am strong in the Lord, then this strength becomes a reality in our life. This is how we're built up, spending time in the presence of the Lord, but also confessing the truth about who we are and how Christ, what he's done for us. He has made me strong, and I have strength in the Lord. The enemy will do everything he can to convince you that you're weak. We identify that lie and proclaim, I am strong in the Lord. A psalm that I love is Psalm 28:7. It says, the Lord is my shield and my strength, and my heart trusts in him, and he helps me. And my heart leaps for joy, and with my song I will praise him. And hallelujah, we have every reason to praise our God, to thank him, and to stand solidly in the victory that we have in Christ. In him, we have everything that we need for this life. We receive strength for life, and we receive strength in the spiritual realm. And this is very good news. This is joyful. The victory is ours. Our second point, then, is that every disciple is drafted into God's army. So it's not a choice. Are we going to be in God's army or not? That's an automatic thing that happens. When we accept Jesus, we are brought then into his army. Now, I know we're Mennonites, we believe in peace, but we need to be strong warriors in the spiritual realm. For our flesh is not, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the heavenly powers, and that's right. Where we need to be very, very strong. Many years ago, I served in an African-American community, and many, many Sundays, we sang this song. Maybe you know it. It says, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a soldier now in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. Could you sing that with me? I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. I'm a soldier now in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. And then in verse 11, we're given this command, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now we're getting to the nitty-gritty. We need the armor of God. In 2 weeks, we're going to focus in on each piece of that armor. But we need to actively take on this armor, but the protection the Lord has given us. Take on the weapons that he's given us because we're called to battle. And it's an everyday thing. The battle is strong and it's every day, and we need to be on our guard and we need to be aware. We need to have discernment. We need to be saying, Lord, show me what's going on around me and I'm ready to enter in. I'm entering in with praise and thanksgiving, positivity, because I'm confident in the Lord, because I am strong in the Lord and I am his soldier. And I will stand confidently in him. When we're a soldier in the army of the Lord, it's a place of blessing, a place of hope, And it's a place of life. And again, he's given us everything we need for this battle, and we do not fear. We are confident in the Lord. Our third point is we need to train for the war that we are already in. Going back to Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." We need to understand what's going on. We cannot win a battle if we refuse to understand it. If we're like, yeah, I don't want anything to do with that, then we're not going to be successful in that battle. We do need to understand what are the tactics of the enemy and be aware and be ready. Then when we spot it happening, we deal with it promptly in the name of Jesus. The enemy's strategy, it's lies, getting you to believe something that you're not, bringing up your sins, bringing up our failures, making you feel hopeless. It's condemnation, fear, getting us to be afraid of what's going on around us when we see things happening, and it's distraction, to be lured away by comfort and wealth and pleasures in this world. This leads us then to our second passage. We're going to jump now. We're back to 1 Peter 5:8. It says this, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Point number four is Satan's greatest weapon is an unnoticed attack. So he's saying, be sober and be alert. This is repeated three times in the book of 1 Peter. So we need to pay attention to this phrase, be alert and of sober mind. What this means is, in other words, don't be intoxicated with the things of this world. Be careful. Don't get so caught up as that we become tipsy, so to speak, in the pleasures and the things that are going on around us that we lose our awareness of what's going on. It can happen with the running with the wrong crowd or watching the wrong things, letting things creep into our lives that we know aren't right, but little by little they come in. And we can become tipsy or intoxicated with these things that are not good. Or even just the cares and the worries of life can make us almost drunk, and therefore not able to really function well. And he's saying, be alert and of sober mind. If our mind is caught up with these things, with worries of life or the pleasures of life or pursuing wealth above everything else, any of those things, then we are no longer alert and able to discern what's going on in the spiritual realm. We need to have our eyes opened and see and have discernment in every situation. Mm. The enemy is looking for someone to devour. So that part is really scary. But the battle belongs to the Lord. He is for us and not against us, and we trust in him, and we pray, and we speak his protection over our families. We're looking for people that need to hear the message of Jesus to help them be saved from the power of the enemy. We do recognize there's a battle going on for our hearts and minds and the souls of every one of us. What we see, what we hear in music and on television, what we see in our culture, what we participate in, it's all about trying to get our minds off the Lord and onto ourselves. We know the victory that we have in Jesus, and we're not impressed with the power of the enemy. So if we look up the word for sober in the Greek, it says, first of all, it means to, you know, not be intoxicated, but it also means to be calm and collected. So to have a sober view means that I have a clear view of what's going on. I can see clearly the situation that I am in. And because I'm in Jesus, I am calm and collected in spirit. We don't panic and we do not fear. Fear is very much a weapon of the enemy That when fear is coming, we need to spend time saying, I will trust in the Lord, and to take care of that fear, knowing the victory that we have in Jesus. And that we're actually not at all impressed with the power of the enemy. We know that I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is with me. He is my King. I am rooted in Jesus, my King. I've turned my life over to Him. I've been cleansed by His blood, and I am safe. And therefore, whatever the strategy of the enemy is, he is defeated in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. It's good.
So there's a story about a man, a British evangelist named Smith Wigglesworth. And he was an important evangelist long time ago. And he told about an experience that he had one night when he was sleeping. He was having very frightening and terrible dreams. And at some point, he woke up and he became aware of a demonic presence in his room. He looked around, and there at the foot of the bed was Satan himself. He just sighed and said, oh, it's just you. And he went back to sleep. That's the attitude we need to have. We are not impressed, and we will not be fearful. We stand in victory. First Peter then again in verse 8 says again, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Say that again. Resist him, being firm in the faith, standing firm in the faith. Verse 9. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So as followers of Jesus then, we take action, we resist, and we stand firm. That is our calling. We could put it like this, our fifth point, stand your ground and don't back down. First of all, we need to know the power that we have. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Can you lay hold of that today? You have divine power to demolish strongholds. That's great. And that is what we're called to do. We need to demolish. We need to, with prayer, say, in the name of Jesus, you are demolished. And we take care of it. We move swiftly. We resist. And we do not allow the enemy to come in. In our prayer lives, we're praying over our families. We're praying over our minds. We're praying over our marriages. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go. And you must leave. You will not interfere in my family. And that Jesus is the Lord of my home. Over our church, we pray this often. And I know many other prayer warriors in this church, we're praying together in the name of Jesus. We establish His Lordship. He is King and Lord over this fellowship and over this community, and we will not allow the enemy to interfere. And we wait and we listen.
It's good.
Lord, show us what's going on.
Right.
Is there some type of spiritual attack going on? We want to be ready to resist and stand firm. Resist the devil and stand firm in him, knowing we've been given power in the name of Jesus. There are strongholds that are in our lives, and we can pray together and demolish those strongholds. Sometimes they're even generational sins. They can be sins in our lives that have been repeated many times until it's become something very strong. And actually, we may not know how to destroy that ourselves, but when we humble ourselves and go to brothers and sisters and say, would you pray for me? And as the Lord gives discernment, we can say, in the name of Jesus, we break this bondage. As we confess our sins to one another, that's where the breaking happens. We confess our sins, we pray for each other, and the bondages of sin are broken. It's such a relief when we know that we do not have to remain in bondage to sin, but there is victory in Jesus. But friends, it does require that we humble ourselves, that we confess our sins to each other, and that we pray for each other. There's also strongholds that are geographically based in an area. There may be strongholds of something that's been going on in that area. We don't understand it, we don't need to, but through discernment, We can see what those strongholds are and pray against it in the name of Jesus and break those strongholds. In 1987, I did a training with a discipleship training school with YWAM in St. Helens, England, near Liverpool. We worked with a thriving local Anglican church that had experienced and was experiencing revival and growth. They told us about the early days. The church had dwindled down to just a few people. The pastor who came in, he says there were about 9 people there when he arrived. He came from New Zealand, and he says it very quickly went down to 3 people. Most people left when he got there. But they prayed, and they prayed, and a team started coming together. A few people came into the church, but they weren't seeing much happen. They learned about spiritual warfare and began praying, proclaiming the lordship of Jesus, and through prayer, discerning what are the strongholds in that community, and they began breaking them through prayer in the name of Jesus. Soon after, a woman entered the church, and she says, you know, for a long time, whenever I walked by this church, I felt darkness and oppression. I just couldn't go in. But today I came by, and it was gone. And she came and gave her life to Jesus.
That's great.
That's when the church started growing and taking off. The lessons of spiritual warfare are real. We need to be a soldier in the army of the Lord and stand firm in our faith and resist what is going on that is evil. We stand our ground and we don't back down, and we know the power that we have. It says in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus said, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. This is one of these verses I stand on, and I use it often. I have been given authority by Jesus, and not because I'm a pastor, it's because I'm a follower of Jesus like you. We've been given authority in the name of Jesus, but we need to take on that authority and know that we have it, claim it by repeating this verse many times, and receive it in the name of Jesus. We are called to overcome, and nothing will harm us. We need to have our eyes opened to see really the authority and power that's been given to us, and also to know what's going on in the spiritual realm. A good illustration of this is found in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. This is Elisha, and he's with his servant, and they're in the city of Dothan, and an army of the Arameans came and surrounded the whole city because they'd come for Elijah, because he was causing problems for them. God was showing him what the battle plans were of the enemy, and they were always in, like, defeated, and so they came after Elijah. The servant was afraid. He says, well, how can we resist such a vast army? And it says this, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots that surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what should we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Then later, when the battle went on, the other army was struck with brightness, and they ended up in a completely different territory without Elijah doing anything. We need to have our eyes open to know that when the battle feels fierce, we know there's an army behind me. There's an army of angels surrounding me, and the Lord is fighting on our behalf, and we do not need to be afraid. This is glorious. This is more than we can possibly handle, but I pray the Lord would open our eyes to see more and more the greatness of his power and how much he is for us and how much he is with us. We stand our ground and we don't back down. We resist the devil, standing firm in our faith, and we know the power that we have in prayer. We need to be strong in prayer, and we need to pray strongly. It means we pray with confidence in the name of Jesus. We ask for this. We pray with authority, and we pray fervently and with perseverance. And those prayers need to go on. It isn't just like we pray one time, but we need to persevere in the place of prayer, listening to the Holy Spirit until that burden lifts, being sensitive and listening. An example of this is Daniel. In chapter 10, it talks about him being on a, he fasted and prayed for 3 weeks. And by the way, his fast was, he didn't eat any special foods and he didn't put any lotions on. So, I mean, it wasn't like he was going completely without food. That's kind of encouraging. There were many different ways to fast. But it says he mourned over the state of his, what was happening and what the Lord was planning to do. And he mourned over this. An angel then appeared to him and said, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, but I was detained there with the king of Persia." So this is a glimpse that we have into the spiritual realm, how prayer works, and how diligent we need to be in prayer, also in fasting, and really taking the battle seriously, is that there's a time we need to travail in prayer. It means we keep asking. And really, that's where spiritual warfare is taking place. There are battles happening in the heavenlies, and we're called to stick in there until that release comes. I don't know how else to explain it. Or maybe an angel will come and tell you, okay, you can stop now. But we know that God is working in our behalf, and there's power in prayer. We need to stand our ground and don't back down and know the power that we have in the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful, and this is the basis of our faith. This is how we build our faith, and these are our weapons we're going to talk about later. The sword of the Spirit and the Word of God is to know how to use the Word of God in spiritual warfare. First of all, there's the example of Jesus. When he was tempted in the desert, he responded each time with the Word of God. He quoted a scripture to the devil, and he overcame. The Word of God is powerful, and we need to know how to use it. And I'll just say this, we need to know our power verses. We need to memorize them, and we need to have them ready in every situation that we encounter. What are those verses that we have ready to pull out as a weapon against the condemnation, against the lies, and against the tactics of the enemy? Here's just a few examples. 2 Corinthians 10:5. "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So I remember the first time that I heard a teaching on this verse, I'm like, wow, we actually take our thoughts captive. So I remember afterwards, a thought came in that I didn't want to be there, and so I said, "In the name of Jesus, I take that thought captive, and I cast it out." A few minutes later, I was like, "Oh my goodness, I haven't thought about it. It's gone." The thought went out of my mind, and we can have control over our own minds by taking those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Another verse, James 4:7, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So in the name of Jesus, the Bible says, if I resist the devil, he will flee from me. So I command in the name of Jesus, get out of here. Whatever that temptation or whatever sense of oppression, whatever it is, we take authority over it, speak directly in the name of Jesus, you must go. And I've been given this authority. And the Word of God says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Another one, Romans 8:1 through 12. "Whenever we're feeling condemned and having doubts, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." In the name of Jesus, there is no condemnation. I have been set free through him, and I have life. Therefore, I just say this condemnation has to go. I will not listen to it any longer. If we're still feeling shameful and guilty about our sins in our lives, if it keeps coming back, a verse that I love, there's two in Hebrews, it says, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." So I remind myself, the Lord has taken my sins and thrown them into the depths of the sea, and he remembers them no more. It says in Micah 7:19, he will hurl all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Another one is that our sins are as far from him as the east is from the west. I stand with those scriptures and use them to find freedom from guilt. Then the last point here, stand our ground, don't back down, and know the power that we have in thanksgiving and praise. This takes us back to the original point, is that in this battle, it's glorious and it's wonderful. You know, there's a time in the 80s and 90s when there's a big emphasis on spiritual warfare. There's some books that came out. There's a lot of teaching about it. And a lot of people are like going to warfare with a lot of type of attitude. But really, the best weapon that we have is praise. It's thanksgiving. It's standing in the praises of God and praising God, giving thanks, and refusing to give in to discouragement or fear. It's a tremendous weapon. It says in Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. And my heart leaps for joy. With my song, I praise him. And then in Psalm 149, verse 6, it says, may the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands. This really just speaks to me that, yes, we're called to be soldiers in the army of our Lord. And we're called to be soldiers that are full of praise and thanksgiving. We go to battle, but we are going to battle with the praises of God on our lips. Sometimes we have to stop a bit and say, okay, get out in the name of Jesus. We have to do some warfare, but we're praising God. And when we're praising him, what's happening? We're speaking out the truth about who God is. We're speaking out the truth about who we are, and we're speaking out the truth of God's purposes, his character, his glory, and we're dispelling the lies by praising and standing firm in him. Finally then, finishing off the passage in 2 Peter, it says in verse 10, and the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered for a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. God is the one who restores and makes you strong, firm, and steadfast. And when I read this, it's just to realize, okay, no matter how I feel, God's the one who's doing it. When I surrender my life to him, he is making me strong, firm, and steadfast. And I can stand in the confidence that, yes, I am strong, firm, and steadfast. I'm prepared for the journey. I'm prepared for whatever is coming up, and it's going to be good. I'm going to walk, and I'm going to be strong. And in this journey, steadfast, and the enemy will not overcome me. He will not interfere because the Lord is with me. And something else, I'm surrounded right now by a wonderful body of believers. I got a text this morning from someone at 6:30 or 6:20. I am praying for you, Pastor, as you bring this word today. Thank you for praying for me. Let's be strong as we pray for one another, as we stand together to help see each other be strong, firm, and steadfast. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus. Mm. Oh, Lord, this is so wonderful and so powerful. Thank you, Lord, that you have made us strong and you are making us strong. Teach us, Lord, train us, we pray, to be spiritual warriors, to be your soldiers in this world, and soldiers with love, singing your praises, Lord. We want to be confident, and Lord, we want to claim this entire territory around us, just in your kingdom, Lord, to do our part together with other churches, Lord, to see people saved from the clutches of the enemy, to see people, Lord, brought into your kingdom. Lord, to know that our families are safe, our children, Lord, are safe in you. Bless this fellowship of believers here, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord, to see what's going on in the spiritual realm and to exercise then the gifts that you've given us, the weapons you've given us, Lord, to stand firm strong, and steadfast. Show us the battle, we pray. We rebuke fear in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for our future plans as a church, the things we're going to talk about today in our town hall. And we pray for your blessing, for your hope. Thank you, Lord God, that you are with us. We trust in you. Bless us, we pray, with your Holy Spirit. Lord, through times of discouragement, help us to stand strong in faith and stand strong in faith together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.